In life, we all try to follow our dreams and constantly look for what our purpose is. For some, that is easier than others, but just know that there is a way to find clarity and meaning in your life. In this episode of Light Up Your Worth, the host, myself, Debbie McAllister, and an Akash Records reader and meditation instructor, Mina Rishi, dives into what the Akash Records are, how they can help you find clarity and meaning in your life, and why it is so important to discover your gifts and purpose. Oh, it's a really fun episode, and I'm so excited that you are here. I wanted to take a moment during this busy holiday season and thank you for being here. My heart is full of gratitude that you are here starting out at the end of the year. So excited. And that this episode is actually sponsored by myself, Debbie McAllister, and Get Unstuck Coaching Program. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in.
You are listening to Light Up Your Worth with transformational coach Debbie McAllister, whose vision is to provide spiritual connection, magical learning, and positive resources for your toolbox to raise the consciousness and frequencies for you and our Mother Earth, to discover the unbelievable resource within yourself. This podcast is for you, the spiritually curious, seeking inspiration, hope, and practical knowledge as you navigate healing, personal growth, and development, as you move forward with confidence, building a consciously intentional, radiant life. Each week, you will be given an all-access pass into the lives of other spiritual souls, energetic healers, spiritual modality experts, thought-provoking life coaches, empowering therapists, and uplifting authors who are real and vulnerable as they share their own unique journeys through healing and offer their gifts. This podcast is here to provide engaging and heart-centered conversations that offer so much wisdom, it will motivate you to light up your worth. Thank you for tuning in. Embrace your brilliant, gorgeous, and talented, worthy self.
Hello, this is Debbie, and this is Light Up Your Worth. I am so excited to introduce the guest that I have been waiting to be able to interview. Her name is Mina Rishi, and she is an Akashic Records reader and a meditation instructor. She loves helping people who feel stuck or uninspired by life connect with their purpose so they can cultivate clarity and contentment. After spending over a decade seeking her own purpose and finally finding it through the Akash Records, she finds great joy in bringing this magical perspective to others, helping them to find greater clarity and meaning in their own lives. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. I loved when we got to know each other before, you know, today's interview. Yes. And it was just so, I just love when I'm able to connect in at this really heart-centered and really feeling, you know, the journey that you've been on to be able to be here and how you found your way through the Akash. And so I am really curious and inspired to listen to your inspiring journey. Not that I'm inspired, but I'm like really wanting to know more and intrigued. That's the word I was looking for. It was right there. And I really would love to hear about your journey and how you got there to be able to be here today.
Yeah, because it's not really a job that you like grow up thinking you want, or at least it wasn't for me.
Yeah. I haven't met anyone. I want to grow up and be an Akash Records reader, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what?
So yeah, my journey was like a little bit winding. And I kind of like divinely accidentally, not accidentally ended up doing this work. So I was like growing up, I was always like a pretty anxious kid. Some of my earliest memories are actually like waking up with nightmares and like screaming and like in a crib, like that young. So yeah, that anxiety was just like my lifelong friend, and it got more and more intense as I got older. And coupled with that was this like yearning fascination with purpose. I always wanted to know like why I was here. So I was like having an existential crisis, like from the age of 10 onwards. I was like, I need to know why I'm here. And that anxiety like made it feel like, oh my goodness, I'm wasting time. Like I can't waste any time. I need to know why I'm here so I don't end up doing the wrong thing and don't end up wasting any time. So I had this like weird urgency from a young age. And it like got more intense as I went to high school. And then in college, it got really, really intense. And that anxiety became like crippling. I would say it was hard to just like function, but it was such a slow increase because it had been there my whole life that it just became normal. So I didn't think anything was wrong, but it was like, and the thing that was so strange is that on the surface, everything looked like beautiful. Everything was perfectly fine. And I looked like I had that like sheen of success. I was doing really well in school. And it was like anytime I would like turn something in or finish a big project or do something at work, it would be that like 2 seconds of like, ah, that felt so good. And then it was just like this crushing wave of like, oh my God, this is so meaningless. And like, it would just all crumble. And I would just be right back into that like panic state of like, okay, well, what's the next thing? I need to do more. So it was this like cycle of like, I need to do something. So it like became this like addiction to work. So I was like working all the time. And that kind of devolved into some health issues because I was working like 18 to 20 something hours a day. And I would go days without sleeping kind of just for fun. I wouldn't eat for like days at a time, like 24 to 72 hours, just didn't eat. And yeah, things like that. And the anxiety, of course, if you're not eating or sleeping, it's not really helping anything. So I like had this like myriad of like health issues, like my hair was falling out and I had like rashes all over my body. And I had to stop. I like loved to run and I had to stop running because my joints like would hurt so bad. It like hurt to move. And my sleep was like a really fun time. So the few hours I did sleep, it's like hilarious looking back on it, but I would sleep with like my fists like clenched like the whole time I was asleep. And so when I would wake up, I couldn't really like close my hands all the way because like my grip strength was so weak after clenching all night. And then the way I would wake up would be just like from a nightmare, and I would just bolt upright and like be choking on my own screams. So that was like a daily occurrence. Wow. Yeah. So it was kind of intense. But again, I didn't think that was like weird. It never clicked in my brain like, oh, hey, this is not normal. Cause I just got used to it. And it just was such a slow increase to that. So I was like, yeah, that's just how it is. And that anxiety kind of was just like my fun personality quirk, like, oh yeah, haha, I'm anxious, whatever. And when I graduated for the first time, when I got my bachelor's, I like the health stuff was so bad that I was like, okay, self, you need to do something about this. This is getting kind of out of hand. So I started eating and sleeping, and that did wonders. And on top of that, I started dabbling with meditation. And I feel like that gave me enough of a gap, like enough space to kind of get me through the rest of the way because I wasn't done yet. So I went like immediately into a master's program. And then I like the anxiety was still there, but it wasn't as severe as it was, but the addiction to work was still pretty intense. And I graduated for the second time in May of 2020. So like a pretty chill time in the world to graduate. And
oh yeah, no national emergency or global health emergency. Huh?
Yeah, it was totally fine. So yeah, I like had to move out urgently of like the city I was studying in and like move back in with my parents. And so I defended my thesis from my childhood bedroom, which was like very weird how that like came like strangely full circle like that. I was like, this is so bizarre. And all of the traction that I had been getting, because like my entire life's work from like tiny child was like, go to school, get good grades, go to college, get a master's, get a job. And so I was like so close. I was like right on the cusp of like achieving my lifelong dream of getting a job. And I'm like, yeah, it's like
not your 10-year-old great... self. Is yeah, like, I know. Oh, she's like, doing yes, it. I'm doing it.
Yeah, so I was like right at the cusp of that dream, but all of the interviews I had and all the tractions I had with companies, everyone went on a hiring freeze. So I was like, okay, well, now what do I do because of the pandemic? So I was forced to take a break. And that was like so hard to just stop, even though I had been burnt out for years at that point. So I was like, just looking around, like, what do I do with all this time? There's nothing I can really do. And so I'd always like had an interest in like self-help and like kind of like mystical fun things, because like I said, I'd always like wondered what my purpose was. And so I stumbled upon this course about the Akashic Records, and I was like, oh, I haven't really heard of that. Like, that might be a fun way to kill some time until I can apply for jobs. And so I took that course, and as soon as I could start to like hear the records, like get any insight from them, all I was doing was like, what's my purpose? Like, what's this job? What's the potential of this job? So I was like using it kind of like a job search engine, which is like so embarrassing to admit that's how I was using the Akashic Records. But I was like, yeah, what's the potential of this job? And like, it was so goofy. And then one day in the records, I asked the question. So the title of the job, like the jobs I was applying for, was technical artist. So I asked the records, what is the potential of my artistic career? But instead of artistic, I accidentally said Akashic. And it was like the most life-changing moment I've experienced, because in that like accidental asking, what I saw through the records was just, it was so cheesy. It was like, yeah, like it was just white space and like the clouds, there were clouds and they opened up and it was this radiant white light. I don't know if you can hear that car alarm, but that's like bingo.
Yeah, right? Like, is that yeah, a message or confirmation right there? Or spirits there?
But yeah, it was this like radiant white light, and it just, the whole thing was just like white, bright light. And I could feel physically like the potential, the radiance that that path had for me. And it blew my mind. And they said, we've been waiting for you to ask. Because the cool thing about the records, the way that I work with them, is they don't tell you anything that you don't want to know. And so that, like, it never occurred to me that this could be a job, because I was just so like hooked into the idea that like, no, this, my purpose has to be connected to some type of job. So I was just trying to narrow down which job it was. But yeah, so it was really a profound experience for me.
That is so profound. And even the car alarm going off as you said that, we know that there's no coincidences. Like, it was this outside validation of what you just shared.
Yeah, the timing was weird.
And I love the visual. You know, it's, I think people are really curious about when people go into the Akash, like, because everybody has a unique experience. And when you go in, when you were going in and received this really profound response and this answer to what you've been searching for since you were 10.
Yeah.
Like, when you were saying that, I got those truth bumps, goosebumps, right? Like, it was like, wow, like it just overcame my whole physical body. And
that was pretty powerful for me.
Yeah.
That's cool that you could feel it too.
Yeah. It's part of the connection, I think, that we have of being able to, you know, use your gifts to really help others find and align their own purpose. You know, that alignment is so, that's so beautiful. And, you know, how, you know, it makes me think of like, as a parent, you know, you have a 10-year-old who's already thinking about this, and we think about it from the spiritual aspect of what the earth is going through, you know, the quantum field being here with, you know, the 3D to the 5D. And I think about all the beautiful souls that have been born each decade since the roaring hippies in the 60s, which I was born in the 60s, and how we're all here to really, we have a purpose. But every decade since the 60s, it's intensified all of the people who are coming in, like yourself, to help other people with where the earth is today.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, even just how I've noticed just like mainstream language has shifted, like from the time I was a kid to now. Mm-hmm. I feel like every single thing, like everybody knows their like astrology a little bit, or they like are talking about the divine feminine and all kinds of stuff. So it's like cool to see that, how everyone is kind of tuning in to this like rich, like inner world and all the tools we have to connect to it.
As fascinating as this conversation is, we are going to pause for a moment and we'll be right back. Yeah, I mean, I remember like nobody used to have crystals or essential oils. And now look, you have how many, like even multi-level marketing groups have essential oil companies, right? Like, I'm surprised there's not one with crystals, but maybe there is, but
soon probably.
Yeah, right. Or the gift baskets or the everything that has them, right? You buy a plant and it has a, you know, a clear quartz or something in it, but people just think, oh, they're so pretty. And it just has almost become, I don't want to say normalized, but it's almost along those lines where the language has shifted in the last like even 5 years. And I think your experience in the pandemic too, of like, okay, this is what I worked so hard for, and it made you pause.
Yeah.
And how many other people have you met who are in the, who met in the pause, this connection?
Yeah. It was such a, like, as like horrific some of the effects of the pandemic were, that was something I was very grateful for, was that it forced me to stop. And it was like pause and think about what you're about to get into. Like, mm-hmm. Wait, and like, just take a moment to feel that, like, is this what you want? And I think when I felt that like rich, vibrant, like radiant potential in another path, one that I never considered, I accidentally asked that question because it didn't cross my mind. It was such a relief. Because now that I knew something else was there, there was a different way, you know, that life wanted to show up for me. I felt like I could finally just say the thing that I had known for a long time, but was terrified to admit, that I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to get a job. It's not for me. And I knew that for a long time, but it was just terrifying to admit because it was the culmination of my life's work at that point. Right. So it's mm-hmm. like, that's all I was doing was studying from a young age. So like everyone does, you go through school and it's like, you get like ushered into college. If I mean, that's how my background is. It's like college was never a choice. It was like, yeah, obviously you're going to college, and then, you know, you get a job and then you just work, and then someday you retire, I guess. But it was almost like that was the finish line. Was just getting a job, and then like your whole life's work is done. You can finally just relax once you have a job, which is wild. And it's like happiness or alignment or joy and fulfillment. None of that was ever part of the conversation for me. And I think that's why I felt this like gaping hole in me the whole time I was studying, because I was missing that piece of meaning. And it was so difficult to even wake up and keep going. Like, I feel like I was talking about and thinking about death all the time. And it was normal because my friends were also speaking that way. It was like normal to joke about dying and death and stuff. And so that's why it was like such a weird, slow, like descent into this like dark, sad place that was completely devoid of like meaning and joy, that I just didn't even think to question it because it just became normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's the Akashic Records that pulled me out of that powerfully by showing me like, hey, your life has potential outside of this one thing that you've been working on. Like that was just one timeline. And there's another timeline that's very rich for you. And beyond that, there are infinite timelines for you. And you get to choose. You get to choose what you want to do.
That is, you know, I love that you're able to bring that gift to, I want to say, I'm trying to think of how to say this, because there's a couple decades difference between us. So, but, and I love that, that you are able to like, look how much of your life now that you're going to be able to have this impact because you've been able to connect in with that purpose. I mean, wouldn't, maybe you've talked to your 10-year-old self.
I think she's pretty like relieved. I think the, like all of my past selves, my young selves were just so terrified all the time that it's like, oh, thank God, you know, you figured it out. That like one question we had is like, why the heck am I here? It's like, oh, okay, good. We can like take a deep breath and like my inner kid can just go, you know, play, which it's like, yeah, she never did that. So it's like, she's getting a chance to play now.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Now, how are you feeling with your, you know, this anxiousness, this anxiety that you've carried with you now that you've connected with this part of yourself?
That was also kind of like a slow, I think slow is kind of my natural pace. And it's actually been kind of hard for me to accept that because you're kind of taught like, go as fast as you can, work as much as you can, the addiction to work. But I think, yeah, the more and more like I'm doing this work, it's like very clear that slow is my natural rhythm. So finding like my way out of anxiety was also slow, but it like happened. And like, it felt slow rather, but when I look back on it, I'm like, that was very little time that passed in the grand scheme of things to kind of like really move through that like lifelong anxiety I had. That was my whole personality for it to just kind of be dissipated now. It's incredible to like look back at it, but yeah, so I had anxiety when I graduated. I had anxiety when I found the records. And after I like had that like really like cinematic cheesy moment of like the light like was shining down on me, it like, that's when it like my like work, my like transformational work really began. So I was working with the records a lot, reading for myself a lot, and I began like meditating more, and I would meditate in the records. And then over time, and I was working with like a teacher. And then after my time with that, my Akashic Records teacher closed, I was working, just practicing every day, working with the records. And then I noticed like, and I was calmer, but that's also because like everyone was kind of staying in. I didn't have a job. I wasn't in school. So it was easier to kind of chill out. I took like a break for the first time, which was cool. But then that like I could still feel the anxiety underneath. The anxiety just like changed its like outfit, and I was like, okay, we're not worried about school and work anymore. It was like, ooh, is this like Akashic work gonna work out for you? Like how is this business gonna work? You don't know anything about having a business. So it changed its shape a little bit. And then I was like, I'm an Akashic Records reader that doesn't really know how to meditate. That is like so bizarre. So then I found a meditation teacher and I was working one-on-one with them. And like, yeah, they were like a spiritual coach and meditation teacher. So I was working with them and I learned how to like meditate properly, because before that I kind of just like, I had dabbled with different types and none of them really stuck. And I dabbled even with the apps too in college. And those, I think, were helpful because it gave me that space that I was talking about to kind of just like take a little bit of a step back and kind of gain some mental clarity. But yeah, and it was through this like blend of like working deeply with the Akashic Records and cultivating a very devoted daily meditation practice. Did that like very diligently. And then I guess like 6 months after I was doing that, so maybe like close to a year after I found the records, so was working with the records and 6 months after meditating, I kind of just like was, I think I was driving one day and I was like, I am completely at peace right now. And it was like the first time I really became aware of that. I was like, whoa, that's amazing. I was like, I'm not scared right now. And it was the first time like my mind like noticed that fully, just in my regular life, not in a meditation session, just like, wow, I'm not worried or stressed about anything. And it was such a foreign and euphoric like realization, because I just spent like decades of my life just being anxious all the time. So it took me a while to notice that the anxiety went away. Actually, it wasn't like it just shut off. I think it like slowly kind of moved out, and it took me a little while. Like it had been gone for a while before I noticed it. And now I'm able to like hold myself in like a deeper like level and experience of calmness and clarity most of the time. And that doesn't mean I don't experience anxiety ever. Like I was nervous even to do this like interview. So yeah. It's like, yeah, the nervousness is there in moments, but it's not my baseline level of relating to life. It's not how I relate to life anymore. So if I have an anxious moment, it's a moment and it's temporary. It's not. So it's like the calmness and the anxiety switched places, where it's like maybe in the past I had a brief glimpse of calmness, but the vast majority of my experience was anxiety. And now it's like most of the time I'm pretty calm, and maybe here and there, if I'm doing something that pushes me up against an edge, I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of nervousness, but it's not anxiety. Like I felt the world was going to end like it was in the past.
Yeah. Well, that's a big distinction. I mean, we all have nervousness.
Yeah.
We all have moments of pushing some, learning something, doing something for the first time. Oh, I'm going to go get on a plane and fly to Italy. Like we all have parts of that. I think that just shows that we're alive here on this earth experience.
Yeah.
You know, we're that spiritual being having an earth experience. And I think it's part of it. But I love how you've been able to really shift it over, where the normal is the calm. The normal is this feeling that you are aligned with your purpose, and being able to help somebody navigate through that. I can imagine how many people are out there now in the world who were the second half of either high school or college experience and getting close to a graduation, and everything got shut down. And then it wasn't just 1 year, it was 2 years. And 2 years is a long time when you are getting ready to like launch into what you've been doing up until that point.
Yeah. For sure.
What do I do?
I mean, yeah, 2 years, it's like half the time that people were studying for their degree, maybe, or maybe the whole time they were studying for their degree, it was maybe 2 years. And now it's like, oh gosh, I have to wait 2 years. Yeah. And sitting in that waiting, I'm sure is incredibly stressful. So it's like, oh my gosh, because you're forced in that moment of pause to be like, it's so ripe for an existential crisis of like, what am I doing? What am I gonna do? What have I done? Why am I here? What's gonna happen? Like, yeah, it like that like moment really lends itself to like panic.
Yeah, it does. Now, when you talked about meditation, like you've tried a couple different types of meditations then. Mm-hmm. So what type of meditations did you find for yourself? Or what did you know that really resonated with you on this journey and how it's now been part of bringing in the calm and the joy?
Yeah. So the meditation I do now is like mantra meditation. So like affirmation meditation. So when I work with people, long-term, I help them cultivate their own daily practice. So I start by kind of assessing where they're at. And then I help them, I like give them personal affirmations to use in their meditation. So it follows like the same format loosely, but then they use their own affirmation as they're going. And so it's really like the core of it is intention and affirmation. So that is kind of like, I don't have a name for it. So I just call it mantra meditation, affirmation meditation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's the type of meditation that has worked for me.
As fascinating as this conversation is, we are going to pause for a moment and we'll be right back. Imagine unlocking your heartfelt desires and moving forward with confidence and determination, knowing that I am in your corner, reflecting the blind spots that you can't see on your own, while creating a safe container to explore your next steps. Build your inner love for yourself through a spiritual coaching perspective. I will guide you on a path of inner acceptance so you can discover the unbelievable resources with yourself. Partnering to activate your full expression so that you can live without limitations and manifest your dreams. Dissolving the trapped emotions and beliefs that drive your behaviors and habits that are firmly stored in your conscious and subconscious minds. And helping you to further know yourself and have an expanded awareness of yourself. If you are ready to step up, step forward, and embrace life as your true self, book a discovery call with me from my website, lightupyourworth.net, under the service page of Work With Me. I can't wait to see you in our discovery call. So then are you repeating these affirmations when you're in this, you know, this quiet space for yourself? Like and a mantra of, almost of it, of repeating
it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of them, like some people that I work with, I give them Sanskrit mantras, and mm-hmm. then some of them are in English. And so it just depends on, and are more like an affirmation. So it depends on where they're at and what their journey calls for in that moment. But yeah, so it is like kind of arriving in that quiet space and doing the things that you do in most meditations, sitting, breathing, witnessing, being. And then when you get to that moment of stillness, you invite in the mantra or the affirmation and you repeat it very mindfully, but it's not, you don't just keep saying it again and again and again. It's like, it's very intentional the way that you work with the affirmation. It's not just repeating it just for repetition's sake. So yeah, you're kind of playing with it. You're feeling it.
Yeah. You know, there's one I follow. Gosh, I can't think of the YouTube channel that I'm thinking of right now, but it is the goddess of money. And it's actually Indian, and she's has the married partner. What's her name? I have her up right here.
Is it Lakshmi?
Yes. Yeah, there she is. Yeah, Lakshmi. Thank you, Lakshmi, for your help. And she does that. She has a really simple mantra, right? That you can go. And when I think of those mantras like that, like it's such a beautiful tone. And I just find myself like it does. It brings a lot of calm mm-hmm. into my life. And hers is, you know, of wealth, really. Mm-hmm. So it's, I love to say it, you know, when I'm listening to it. The funny thing is that unless I'm listening to it, I couldn't tell you what she's saying. I have no idea what I'm saying, right? Like, I'm just singing along and
yeah.
And it just feels right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are powerful. The Sanskrit mantras are pretty powerful. But that's also why I like to incorporate the English affirmations. That way you do know what you're saying and you feel more connected to it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, you know what you're doing. I like that personal thing where it's not like I'm just saying some magic words and something's going to happen. Although that is so powerful, I do like to have the people I work with be aware of, like, what are we doing? Like, what is your intention? What are we trying to call it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. So now tell me about some of the experiences or somebody that you've worked with who was trying to align with their purpose. Like, what is that? What's that process that you go through to help them, you know, to be able to cultivate it or kind of navigate through that, you know, because I think having clarity and meaning in our lives, it's so powerful. So how do you help them? How do you help your the people that you work with navigate through that?
Yeah. So would it be helpful if I explained what the Akashic records are now that
we're deep into this conversation? Listeners are like, yes, what are you talking about?
I want to hear more. Sure. Okay. So the way I like to describe the records, the Akashic records, and I'm sure like in the notes or something, you'll see how that's spelled. It's like a unique word. The way I like to describe them are the Akashic records are the subtle energetic imprint of everything that has ever happened, everything that is currently happening, and everything that could possibly happen in the future. So it is like the compendium of infinity and eternity. So one might naturally wonder, like, well, what does that even mean? Like, what are you even talking about? So the way that I like to imagine it is if you like, and you can even, if it's safe, you can close your eyes and picture an invisible library in space. And this library has books on every subject you could imagine, including you or your own essence or soul. In an Akashic record reading, it's as though we're checking out the book on you, and you have this like opportunity to ask questions and receive insight from this elevated perspective. So some people call the Akashic Records spiritual Google, and that's because you can almost ask questions that you can't really Google, like, why am I here? What is my purpose? What are my gifts? How am I meant to serve? How can I improve my relationships and things of that nature? So it's this like beautiful Q&A session almost. That's the way that I work with them, is whatever you can ask any question and we may or may not get a response. There are certain questions that the records don't really indulge. And those are questions like, what should I do? There's no shoulds in the Akashic records. And they don't really answer yes or no questions either, because there's infinite possibilities. So yes and no are a little too limited. Yeah. And they really respect your free will and your autonomy as a human being. So they're never going to tell you what to do. But we can ask questions about the different potentials of options that are available to us, and feel into like, what would this like option A feel like? What's the potential of that? What's the potential of option B or C, et cetera? And after you get this like perspective from the records, you feel more empowered to make like a decision based on this extra insight, like a bird's eye view that perhaps you wouldn't have thought of before. So they empower us to make clear, aligned decisions by giving us a different way of looking at things. So, oh, yeah, that's what the records are. Yeah, as I perceive them.
I really like that definition of it, because you also bring in that your own free will, which is so important with everything that we do, and that, you know, no yes or no question. So now when you begin with somebody, are you bringing them more into like doing a brief meditation or connecting them in to source, and then they're asking the questions
so
in a session?
Yeah, so I advise like the people I read for my clients to just spend 10 to 15 minutes sitting quietly. And I do actually, like, if you have a reading with me, I send you a recorded meditation, a guided meditation, and you can keep that forever. So it's like a little intro to the style of meditation I do. But yeah, you can use that relaxation meditation before to kind of just clear your mind and arrive in a calm state. Because the records respond to your energy. So, and consent is huge with the Akashic records in the way that I work with. So again, even with me, they didn't answer a question until I asked. So it's, the sessions are very much driven by the person who I'm reading for. Whatever you ask, that's like the direction we go. So I know some people are kind of scared to go like get readings and like dabble in this, like in the woo, because they don't know what they're gonna get. But that's what I love about the Akashic records, is that it feels very safe and protected, because only what you ask are we gonna get into. But to answer your question, yeah, you can meditate beforehand, and I encourage them, the people I read for, to, if they have a list of questions they want to ask, they can think about those and bring that to the reading. But it's kind of like I'm doing the heavy lifting, so really it's not up to you to be in a super connected, clear state. Like, that's helpful, but I'm opening your records on your behalf with your permission. So it is like, I take a few minutes to open the records. And after that, it's super conversational, just like this, actually. Mm-hmm. So they just ask questions and then I kind of translate. So I might pause and listen to the records and then just tell you how they respond. Yeah.
Oh, that's really fascinating. You know, as you were talking about that, I was like, oh, I want to ask a question, but you know, we didn't talk about that before, but I was like, oh, because I'm sure that there's a lot of people who have been in the same spot that you were, right? Like, of, I've been going down this path of what was the more traditional route, yeah, and it doesn't resonate, or maybe they didn't go to college. They decided not to do that. But now they're like, what do I do? Is this like, do I go after my passion? How do I translate my passion into like, I can move out of mom and dad's basement, mm-hmm, right? Like, there's these connections that have to be able to have, because if you feel aligned, you can, you work your way through, mm-hmm, any possible, yeah, scenarios.
It's easier to do the hard work when you like what you do.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
know? So it's, yeah, like, it's easier to kind of use your own motivation and drive to make something happen, even if, mm-hmm, it's challenging, if you actually want it.
Yeah.
And I know earlier you were asking, like, how do I actually help people connect to a sense of purpose or meaning or clarity? How does that actually work? And it's not that I'm telling you what job to go get or what to do in your job. That's not really what we're necessarily exploring. Like, of course, you can ask, like, what's the potential of staying in this job and maybe something will come through. But what I really like to get to work around, to work with in a session is, what are your gifts? Why are you here? What are your, like, innate natural superpowers? And are you using them in your day-to-day life? Is the job that you already have, is there space inside that for you to bring the value you have to that role? And if not, then you know the next question to ask is, well, what can I do at my job? How can I shift and move around? You know how much wiggle room you have in your own work to be like, well, if I have an innate gift of speaking and I'm not really connecting or speaking to anyone, is there a project I could help with that involves more connection? And it's not like you have to uproot your whole life and throw it all away like I did, you know? And in fact, that's why I love this work, is like, you don't have to get to the ends and beyond of burnout to find fulfillment. You can stay in your job and enjoy the safety, protection, and dependability that it offers, the stability, and bring like your own value to it and cultivate fulfillment, cultivate meaning in the work you already do. But to do that, you need to know. It's like about cultivating deeper self-awareness. What are your gifts? How can you use them? You know, and knowing those things, it's so powerful.
It is. Knowing your gifts. Like, I'm emphasizing it because it is very powerful, understanding your gifts. I don't think I would have started this podcast, actually, if I didn't realize that one of my gifts was that I'm always curious about people.
Yeah.
And how they got here, you know, whether they have a partner, like, how did you guys meet? I've asked everybody I know, how did you meet? Right? Like, I'm always fascinated by people's love stories. I'm always fascinated in this realm of spirituality. You know, it's such a big continuum of it.
Yeah.
And how people found their way here and how they're serving others, you know, yeah, their journey through this. And now how you hold the space for others. I think it's connecting that with, yes, this is your one of your gifts, and step into it. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's no accident that you have this podcast, right? It's like, you uh-huh. knew what your gifts were and you intentionally created it. You like, you knew what you enjoy doing and what you're good at. And you found a way to like nurture that and bring those gifts through. And so, yeah, that's kind of the starting point. That's where I like to begin is, what are your gifts? Why are you here? Know what that purpose is. And then it becomes really easy to see opportunities where you couldn't see them before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really helpful when you work with people, because sometimes we're responsible for our own healing and finding our own way, but we need, I call them tour guides. You know, you need others who can see something in your blind spots that you simply cannot see.
Yeah.
And then we do the actual inner work with partners or people that are teaching us or facilitating, depending on where you are and what you're learning and the practice, you know, that you talked about. So now, I know I follow you on Instagram because I enjoy your lives, but how can, what are you offering now to people, and how can people find you, connect with you?
Yeah. So the way I work with people currently is I offer one-on-one Akashic record readings and meditation guidance. So if you're curious and just wanted to dip your toes in, you can book a single session. And then if you like it and you want to go deeper and really cultivate your own daily practice, and if you have lots and lots of questions that can't fit into one reading, then I also work with people over longer periods of time. So you can do 5 readings over 5 months, and in between I'm emailing you and talking with you, and I create custom like Akashic meditations for you that are like affirmation tapes almost, that are channeled from the Akashic records. So they're very unique and personal, and it kind of like really seals in all the magic and goodness that comes through the readings, but it's in a smaller dose, so you can listen to it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things that I offer. And if you're just curious about meditation, I also teach a free meditation class every month on the second Thursday of the month. And it's online on Zoom. So you can join from anywhere, and you can register for that for free at my website, minaruchi.com. And yeah, a way to keep in touch is my favorite way to chat with people and stay connected is my email list. So you can also sign up for that on my website. And like Debbie was saying, I do a weekly Akashic transmission called Record Time, where I offer a transmission usually about a specific topic. So yeah, there's like lots of like little Akashic goodies to kind of dip your toes into if you're curious.
Yeah, I love that you provide so many different opportunities for people to experience with what resonates for them if they're curious.
Yeah, yeah, because you know, it is a unique and interesting modality. So mm-hmm. I like to have people like, you can kind of, yeah, dip your toes in.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I've noticed too is that having interviewed a large number of people is that every time I've worked with somebody going into the Akash, is that it's different. The energy that comes through, the messages that, though those are pretty consistent, how they're delivered and the energy of how it's being delivered is very unique to the person that I'm talking to.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. And I think it's so cool. And it just feels like, oh, there's so much room for like all of the healers and practitioners and record readers, because then it gives people the opportunity to find someone whose style they like, their way of speaking that they like, or their energy they enjoy. So it's like you can get the same like goodness, same message in a way that you really enjoy. It doesn't have to be like, I don't know, rigid or whatever. It can, yeah, resonate on like a personal stylistic way too.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And it was one of the, when I began the podcast, one of the things I thought about was that, you know, they've, if they've heard of Akash or not heard of them, or have had a reading before or not, is that to understand that there's discernment in who we feel connected with. Yeah. And why you could have, I could have you on, I could have another amazing guest on, and why one might resonate with you, and you could be, you and I could be exactly the same, have the exact background, which is not going to happen, but we all come to where we are because of our journey, our growing up, our life experiences, our education, and our training, you know, whether I have, you know, 25,000 hours behind me, right? Or, you know, or 500 or 20, I've actually can tell the different energies of when I've worked with somebody. And so, you know, things feel, they feel different, all good, but yeah, all very different experiences. So I'm so glad that you're here helping people and that you are in line with your purpose, and that that 10-year-old girl that's inside of you, that inner child, is out, you know, doing this little happy dance. And
for sure.
So thank you so much for joining me and sharing your gifts to the world. And I just feel very blessed that you are here. So thank you, hon.
Thank you so much. This is such a treat to spend this time with you. Thanks for having me on.
If you enjoyed this Light Up Your Worth episode, be sure to share with a soulful friend who needs to hear this message. Thanks so much for listening and being part of the Light Up Your Worth community. My heart is full of gratitude for you. You are my inspiration to shine the light of spiritual, heart-centered women. Now go out there and shine your own light. Sending you sunshine.